friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Browns Patriots on Sunday in Foxborough. The Browns could sure use their second win in a row there to talk about Vrabel versus Stefanski, to talk about the perception of Dillon Gabriel. We're going to welcome on the fan hotline here, Browns legend, former Browns cornerback Joe Hayden joins us now. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right here. We were actually talking at the start of the show where I think we were surprised at kind of the lack of buzz on this Patriots game. I think some Browns fans think this is a huge uphill battle. I don't know about you, Joe. I think JP and I both see this as a very winnable game on Sunday.
I may be on the fan side. I mean, I think it's going to be a tough one. I know we can do it, you know, any given Sunday with the defense that we have, but offensively on that, I don't know.
Where do you see the challenges offensively? Is it just Dillon Gabriel?
It's Dillon Gabriel. It's the running game, obviously, and it's the play calling. If we throw the ball 52 times, it's just the throwing the ball past 10 yards. I need to see it opened up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to throw it on time. But I just need to see just the dump offs, the check downs. I love that he's not turning over the ball. That's amazing. But I need just more plays to be made, like a little bit more down the field. Obviously, that's not going to lead it. Running, making sure Judkins gets the ball. Heavy dose of Judkins. We don't want him to like lead on Dillon Gabriel, but I just want to see a little bit more. Don't miss the open throws. And the team has to help them sometimes with dropping the ball, obviously. But I just want to see him make some plays, make some big plays for us.
So I was pretty hot after the Miami game because of the two touchdowns that were there that Dillon either the one he didn't see and the other he actually just ran for 4 yards instead of throwing to Quinshon down the field. And So I was pretty hard on Dillon's performance in spite of the 31-6 win. But if we go big picture, 3 games in, what's your perception of Dillon as an NFL quarterback?
I think that he's an NFL quarterback. And that's why I think that he's still been able to be the starting quarterback. I love that he doesn't turn the ball over. I love that he makes good decisions. He makes very smart decisions. He's not just lackadaisical with the ball. He protects the football, and I love that. I just think that there's some plays that he needs to be throwing the ball on time. Some plays that, like you said, that play in the end zone, he was premeditated to throw it there. It's an obvious boom. If those guys run into each other, boom, it's wide open for a touchdown pass to Judkins. Like those little simple things, I'm like, I understand you're not turning the ball over, but there's situations where you're not helping the team, where you're not helping us, where those are just simple, boom. Like I'm not asking you to do too much. You can make that play. So just things like that. I think he's performed good, but I think giving him a couple more games and continuing to, now he's playing versus Patriots team. That's a really good team. Our defense needs to perform well, turn it over, give him the ball, and they need to, you know what I'm saying, do the same thing. I'm not mad at what they did, but playing against the Dolphins, the weather was bad. You know what I'm saying? The defense put them in great field position, so he did what he had to do. He managed. He handed off to Judkins. We did a wildcat for us to get the couple of those touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? So he hasn't hurt us, but at the same time, he hasn't helped us too much, but I've given him the opportunity of what I would want to see moving forward for him to, you know what I'm saying, develop and do a little better.
Joe, have you seen anything that leads you to believe Dillon can be a starter in the NFL?
From what I've seen, no. I mean, I think he can be a guy. I think he's worth being on a roster for sure. There's plenty of good, but I don't think he's not a franchise guy. Like, I don't think he showed me ability to be a franchise quarterback. Not yet. Not to date. I'm still giving him the more opportunity. He's only started 3 games, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, he hasn't turned the ball over, but he hasn't thrown any, really, like, he hasn't done too much either. So I think he can be a starter, but I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. And that's not a shot, because there's not too many guys that are really those dudes that are worth making $60 million a year.
How big of a week is this for Stefanski to at least maybe get in some back of the good graces of the fan base back in some capacity?
I think it's a big week. I think that the defense has been playing well. The offense, I think they, you know, just maintaining, making sure that the defense just keeps doing what they have to do, but showing us some sort of points, showing us some sort of, like, running game. Obviously, let's get Judkins going. I love what he's doing. But some sort of passing game relevance, like some sort of thing that we can get, we can hit shots down the field. And sometimes that he did when we playing the Steelers, they've dropped passes that Dylan Gabriel was throwing. I'm not here to bash him at all, but just it's not, we need to make those plays. If they're dropping the ball, other guys need to be in to catch it. There's, what have you done for me lately? I need to be able to see plays made. So I think Coach Stefanski having an offense being able to perform, the defense is going to do what they got to do. But just him having an offense play well and now versus really doing it on the road versus the Patriots will be really big for him to show the team hasn't backed up and I'm doing something to make bigger plays on offense.
Joe, we had Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, now broadcaster, on earlier this week, and we talked about Stefanski versus Vrabel, and he had said he believes that most of the NFL would prefer Stefanski over Vrabel, and he gave a few reasons why. I was surprised. I think Vrabel is one of the best of the best. How do you look at these two coaches, and maybe which one do you think might have the edge over the other?
I would be more of a Vrabel guy. I just from my personality, I think that he's a really good leader of men and is able to just do things the right way. I'm not saying that Stefanski is, but I've never played for neither one of them outside looking in. I'm more of a Vrabel guy.
Yeah, I think, no, we are too. Vrabel's just, you know, the ability to...
No disrespect.
Yeah, no, it isn't. Vrabel's just hit another level, you know, Joe, and that's, I don't think anyone's taking that with any disrespect. What is it about a coach like that, though? We see this with some of these other guys, like Dan Campbell, for instance, guys like that, that the true motivators of men. How does that resonate as well as it does?
It's a thing that you can't teach. You can't teach a dude to be leader of men. It's who he is. It's how they... personality, and dudes can tell real from fake real fast, and when somebody's genuinely like coaching you up, this is how they believe, and they lead by example. They just practice what they preach. You can tell that, and that's just something that you can't fake, and that's just something that some coaches have and some guys don't.
Joe Haden, Browns cornerback on the Browns legend on the Fan Hotline here with Nick and Jonathan, breaking down Browns Patriots Sunday in Foxborough. So I heard this and I agreed that the Dolphins game was the get right game, right? That's a game you had to get square. You win commanding. That was a fun Sunday. So if the Dolphins game was a get right game, what do you think the Patriots game is about for the Cleveland Browns?
It's about consistency. It's about just doing the right thing continuously, making routine things routinely. You know what I'm saying? Like, just showing, like, that is not, don't be a roller coaster. If that's who we are, that's what we're going to do. Be able to defense. Do what you got to do. We had 3 turnovers. It was great. You know what I'm saying? Putting the offense in position. Special teams, creating turnovers. Bell Pitt, the guys, hitting, communicating. Nobody's just running scot-free. They were able to, Achane made a couple of plays where he was breaking it, making a couple of long runs, but bimba don't break. You know what I'm saying? Not letting them score in the red zone, being strong in the red zone. That's basically just doing that, again, versus a good team. Miami might not be, they're struggling, the weather was bad, it was hard to throw, all of that, but then doing it again in another stadium the next week, it's not about just showing like crazy ups and hips and valleys, it's just like consistency. This is who we are, this is how we're going to play. Just protect the ball, let's make a couple of plays if the weather's better. Like when the dude, instead of predetermining where you're throwing it, when that play happens, boom, there's a touchdown pass. You know what I'm saying? Just showing consistent growth. Nothing crazy. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just do what you do consistently against a good team. That's all that we're looking for. And they can do that and win. Then that's going to keep the fans hype. That's going to keep the players hype. And it's not like it's nothing crazy. It's not like they can't do it, but it's going to be a tall task.
Joe, as a former corner, I want to ask you really about Denzel Ward, but really about the position he's been put in. He's had a couple games, you know, like Justin Jefferson in that game where he didn't look his best, obviously. But they traded Greg Newsome. He was visibly upset by that trade going down. Earlier in the preseason, you had MJ Emerson get injured, and it's just been a shuffling of the deck as far as the cornerback room is concerned. How hard is that if you're someone like Denzel to play as well as he has throughout all the adversity that has really hit him this year?
You know, Denzel is a great, great, great corner. And I think for him, you know, it's tough when you have one of your dudes and you kind of like you build a relationship. But I think Tyson Campbell, he's been coming in and just straight off the plane, been able to play really, really well, be able to help him out a lot. But I think just having that with Denzel, he's such a good player that I don't think that it's going to affect him as much as it. I don't think we really have to worry about that.
Joe, I know we've talked a lot about Dillon Gabriel. The Browns drafted another quarterback this year, Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado in the fifth round. There's obviously a lot of talk about Shedeur, and there's a lot of noise about Shedeur. How curious are you to see Shedeur this season in Brown and Orange?
See, I'm honestly, in my opinion, it's very difficult because you don't want to ever shoot. I want to give Dillon the most perfect opportunity and not trying to knock him at all and give him the opportunity because he hasn't lost the starting job. But with my heart of hearts, I love Shedeur. I think that he's going to be able to bring something special. I think he may be able to. I'm giving Dillon all of his chances, everything that he has to be able to get out there because it's not as bad. He hasn't done anything to not deserve this opportunity. He was drafted before Shedeur. The Browns obviously felt like that he was going to be the guy. So giving him his equal opportunity. But when we start losing, I just think Shedeur is going to be able to make some of those downfield plays for us and be able to bring some of that energy that the Browns need.
Do you feel like they should be giving Shedeur any reps in practice? They're going just exclusively all the reps to Dillon.
I mean, obviously they don't want Shedeur to get that opportunity. And I think if you're believing in Dillon Gabriel right now, I think for this next week you can give him all the reps. That's fine. But once it starts getting like a couple of weeks, if the results aren't wins, then we can start splitting a couple of reps. But I can understand why the coach wants to give his first string rookie quarterback all the looks to be able to give him the most opportunity to succeed out there. And I was expecting the same. Once Shedeur gets in, he's getting all the reps and not Dillon Gabriel getting some of them. I think it should be Shador's opportunity to get every single rep with the ones to prepare and be able to go out there and succeed.
Joe, I know you played for both organizations, but just, you know, for this Browns fan right here, can I get a bleep the Steelers out of you?
I don't think that's going to happen, man.
Jonathan, you give him a chance to say it.
It's a bold ask. I don't think it's going to happen.
I just got so much respect for Coach T. That's what it is. Like, he's still there. He's still coaching. And like
Nick calls him Coach Low T.
Coach Low T. It's more love for the Browns. It's more love for the city of Cleveland, 1,000%. Like, it's Browns till I die. But the F the Steelers, like, that's Coach Tomlin's spot. They showed me love. They took me in. And I just can't F them.
Right. It's all right, Joe. You said it like two times in the answer. Yeah. We can slice it whatever way we need to.
I'll just take the little part of that and I'll just play it on my phone whenever I'm feeling blue. Now, I do want to ask.
We got equipment. We can fix this.
Have you ever heard of someone naming their dog or cat after you?
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've definitely heard a dog, and I've heard that I had a kid, a baby.
A baby?
I got two Haydens out there, and I've heard of a dog.
All right, so our producer, Jake Murren, has a story to share with you about his own dog.
Yeah, what's up, Joe? I was in middle school. This was about, I think, 12 years or so ago. I went to go get a dog with my mom, and we didn't know what to name her. Hours went by, and I just so happened to be wearing my Cleveland Browns Joe Haden jersey that night. My mom sees the back of my jersey and says, boom, let's name her Haden. And I absolutely loved it, so we did. And she's probably the best dog my family's ever had. We'll be turning about 12 years old this winter. I have tons of pictures of her in my youth-sized Joe Haden jerseys and all. So that's what you mean to me in this city. And like you said, Cleveland till I die, man.
My man, thank you, brother. I appreciate that, man. That's why I love the land. It's you guys. It's people like you, brother. I appreciate you, man. Honestly.
Look at that.
That's
Joe,
very nice. That dog's still barking. I like that.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said that dog's still barking.
Yeah, look at that.
If you would have named him something outside of Hayden, I don't know that it'd still be around. 12 years is a long time.
Yeah, if you'd named, nope, not making the jokes. I'm not going to do it. If you had named it Set the Valve, who knows? Who knows what would have happened there? Joe, you're always so gracious with your time, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And really, really, really hope we get that Browns win on Sunday so we can all feel better about it.
Oh, no, me too, man. I'll come back and holler at you guys.
All right, Joe, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you. Browns legend and corner Joe Hayden on the fan hotline. I was getting that F the Steelers. I was getting it. And then you jumped in.
You weren't getting it.
He said it. He said it by saying, like, I would never say that.
And that's how
but,
you got it.
Well, yeah, because you get Johnny it. Jump in there. You J-O-P'd on
one
it.
One of the
Danny
most
Sheltoned
ridiculous request I've ever seen in an interview is what that was.
He would have gone viral in Cleveland 15 times over and maybe with those mouth breathers in Yinzertown if he had said, bleep the Steelers, and then done like a DX, cha-cha. One of those chops?
Yeah, no, he was never going to do that.
Well, yeah, because you can't.
See the chops. We can't see the chops.
Well, no, that's so.
See us doing the chops.
Yeah, well, no, for YouTube, and then the chop chop is for the audio folks.
Mm, yeah,
I'm pleasing both at the same time.
We know that
it's
about
called
you.
Being a grown man.
We know that about you.
216-474-0092. Did JP cost us an opportunity to get a bleep Joe Hayden?
excuse me.
To get Joe Hayden to say bleep Pittsburgh.
Hey, by the way,
the Steelers.
The true takeaway here, he laughed really loud to the low T Mike Tomlin joke.
Mm.
Cracks in the friendship?
Mm. Or maybe it was a sympathy laugh. Nah, you deserve that for cutting off my joy. What is your perception?
Joy was never going to happen.
We'll react to what Joe Hayden said is his perception of Dylan Gabriel through three games in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. But it does seem like everybody's pretty much in lockstep of like, all right, I'm not seeing a franchise. You know, can we see a starter at some point? Or can we see a quarterback 27 through 34 at some point?
Yeah, and then it's interesting because then the next evolution of that discussion is, are we all doing this way too fast? But when you have Shador sitting there and waiting, I think you have to be fast about these things.
Yeah, I don't. And by the way, if Dylan was the number two pick in the draft this year, yes, it would be way too early to have any sort of thumbs up, thumbs down on him. He's a late third round pick.
Oh, even if it was like, just Bailey Zappi in back of him. If it was just Bailey, I'd be like, all right, we're way too quick in all this stuff. Let's give it a little bit more.
I disagree firmly. I think when you're talking about a non-elite quarterback prospect, they have to play their way into you thinking there's something more than a backup.
No, but the difference there would be that you'd be giving him more of an opportunity to eventually turn the tide and have him do that. Whereas if you go to Bailey Zappi is doing absolutely nothing for you. Like you're wasting time if you put Bailey Zappi out there. You could at least make the argument that if the competition was between Dylan and Bailey, that maybe just maybe the light bulb will go on and some of what you saw in college will be able to translate and it will be able to work. And so that I think would be the process. But with Shador waiting, it doesn't make sense to me.
I think Shador being there, absolutely, especially for certain parts of the fandom, puts more pressure on Dylan in the immediate part of this. But I mean, I think if he had another three games like he did the first three games, I think you could have Carson Wentz back him up. And I think people would be like, all right, we're scoring like 15 points a game, 16 points a game. Got to do something. The quarterback's the same thing we did with Joe Flacco. I mean, this town was gaga about Joe Flacco. How many people thought Stefanski, Flacco, the old blocking scheme, the old playbook, you know, Nick's an idiot for three-win Wilson. Vegas is crazy at the 5.5. It took four games for everyone to be like, all right, enough of that crap. We don't have that investment in Dylan Gabriel.
Well, a third-round pick is an investment in some ways. But, I mean, like, you can't just throw these things around.
But you don't have the emotional investment.
Well, we're talking from a fan, or are we talking from the Browns?
From the fan perspective.
Oh, well, the fans can move on as quick as you need to.
But I think that's the point. I think
90% of fans already have moved on from Dylan Gabriel.
I don't know if it's 90. I think a large percentage
of fans have already given up on Dylan Gabriel.
I don't know. I got a fair amount of crap this week for saying I didn't think he was very good against Miami. I think there's still Dylan Gabriel truthers out there.
Then they're in your mentions. They're not in mine because I don't see a lot of defense for Dylan. And I, through the phone lines, through what we do on a day-in, day-out basis together, how many calls have we taken this week, Nick, where people have called up and said, you're not being fair to Dylan, or it doesn't make sense the way you guys are treating Dylan. He deserves a chance X, Y, and Z. We don't take those calls.
Fairness, we don't take a lot of calls.
That is true. We don't take a lot of calls. But like this week, we haven't heard a single call like that.
216-474-0092. So you heard what Joe Hayden said about Dylan Gabriel. How big of a game is this for Dylan Gabriel? I also think it's going to be really interesting to see if this game, in the end, winning or losing, whether it alters too much of the Browns' approach to the deadline, where, you know, David Njoku has disappeared from some people's trade candidate lists. And then I saw, I can't remember the website, but he had a 42% chance of being traded by one of the analytics websites.
Yeah, the ESPN article I saw the other day, it had Jerome Ford up there as the only Browns player out of the top 25 that were listed. And obviously, David Njoku would be better than Jerome Ford if you were going to rank him and put him out there. But yeah, I think this is a big little stretch here. Because if you get your third win and then you're 3-5 heading into the bye week, I wonder how differently they'll treat this. Like, if you feel like they then look at the season and say, maybe there's something we can do here?
I think there's more to be lost than gained. Like, if you win this game, I think right now the Browns should be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. If a Garrett Wilson shakes free for the right price, you'd be stupid knowing you're trying to get a quarterback next year. You'd be dumb not to go ahead and take a swing and get Garrett Wilson for the right price. At the same point, I don't think you should be going off another, you know, potential seller team and begging for their, you know, leftover garbage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I only think you're buyers in like 3% of trades that could be out there, or like a buy low pick swap Braxton Jones, the left tackle of the Bears, who is finally healthy.
Which seems like that could be a possibility.
So like those are the kind of moves. I think this is more if you lose this game, you become a definitive seller. Whereas if you win, I think you're still a little column A, a little column B.
I mean, if they lose this game, then they have to really just kind of they have to make peace with the idea that there's no in the hunt graphic that they'll be a part of.
Yeah. Well, and I also think it's like 3-5. You can start to sell yourself on, especially with two straight wins.
When it's not just 3-5 either, it's 3-5 with the Jets coming down the track.
Yes, yes. Like, okay, we've got some momentum here. A second win. This win is going to be a little tougher to dispute with Dylan Gabriel than it is the Miami game was. I can understand if you come out of this saying, all right, we're 3-5. We feel like we've got a fighting chance. I still think it'll be a little early for that. I'd need another win before we get there, but I understand it. With a loss, 2-6, it's math. I mean, it is math with a team that is incredibly young, that has a lot of holes on offense, and a head coach who doesn't always lean on the very best player on the offense to get things done in Quinshon Judkins.
Which makes it even more frustrating why nobody wants to discuss this game. Like, the whole season isn't really hinging on this game. Like, this should be a hot topic for a bunch of people. This should be a big discussion for a lot of people. Like, the difference between winning this game and then having the Jets in your back pocket versus losing this game and essentially seeing your season just waste away it's pretty massive.
Yeah, but I think
when people can't get into this one.
Well, I think you need an indisputable game to get in on this team with the plan that I think there's a lot of people in this town who've watched how wonky this plan was and then how off trajectory it went. Kenny Pickett for a fifth rounder. Joe Flacco traded 5 weeks
in. You're being generous even calling it a plan.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think it was a plan. It was a lot of spare parts. Plan.
I don't even see a plan here. It just kind of felt like they threw a lot of things against the wall.
And none of them have stuck so far.
None of them have stuck.
But I think that's why this game is... It's funny. I think sometimes we equate buzz with interest. I think there's a lot of people watching this one with interest. But I think in terms of the kind of things that drives what we do, what we do on social media together, this game doesn't have a lot of that before it. It's a game you beat your chest about after, But leading into it, yeah. you do the old Teddy Roosevelt, walk softly and carry a big stick.
Oh, it's got the energy of the Cavs-Nets game tonight. You know, where it's game two of the NBA regular season. We're all watching it, but no one's discussing it in great detail.
TB12 forever on the YouTube chat there.
That guy's
there.
An aggressive chatter, isn't he?
He is.
I like him.
Yeah. Well, I said Browns cannot win
big. What's
the well
for? Should I not like TB12 forever?
Let me get through this and you'll hear. He said, Browns cannot win big games, a.k.a. games versus winning teams with no wide receivers, LOL. Why isn't this no? I think he means known, by Nick and Jonathan. And then he said known.
Wait, is he a Tom Brady fan with the TB12 forever thing? So is he actually a Patriots fan?
I don't think it's that. No, because he's always in our chat. I think he's just...
What else would TB12 mean, though?
No, he's just a Tom Brady fan who also might be a Browns fan. You can be both.
I know you can be. It just seemed more like...
I've never seen Patriots fans' tendencies from TB12 forever, although that doesn't mean he's not.
You know, I went when Tom Brady played the Browns in 2016, I made an effort to go and see that game because I thought that was going to be the last Tom Brady game I'd ever have a chance to see in person. Mm-hmm. And then he played for another 8 years.
Thanks for that, Tom. I don't, this is not a big game. Like, okay, this is not what the first six games of the season was. So I respect the Patriots as an opponent. If you decide you don't want to play this game in a way to win it, if you want to get cute with it and have Dylan Gabriel throw it 56 times or 52 times, you can lose your ass against this team. Like, Vrabel, to me, is the quintessential Belichickian disciple that if you want to do something dumb, he's not going to stop you. Kind of like Tomlin 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Right? Hey, I'm going to make you run, and then you're going to make me stop making you stop running, right? Like, that's what this game represents. And so, again, I don't think it's IQ test with Kevin because it's very clear, not because of the Ivy League stuff, because you hear the guy talk, he's smart, but this is an arrogance test. It's how much do you want to win and how much do you want to win your way? So, but I don't think this is a quote-unquote big game. This is not, the Patriots are not a juggernaut. Like, the record is a little deceiving based off what you're actually going up against.
No, but it is a big game relative to the idea of what we talked about in regards to if you lose this game and what you think the season can be. Like, and again, if you win this game with the Jets in back of you, like, this is, you go from being a 2-win team right now to I can snap my fingers. This is a BOGO game. If you win this game, then you win the game against the Jets. Then you have a 3-game winning streak, and all of a sudden, it's a completely different tune that we're singing.
Also, got to look another way here. If you win this game, 3-win Wilson starts to feel the heat on the old burger bets.
If you win this game, 3-win Wilson is all but dead, okay? It doesn't exist anymore.
I mean, in fairness, I did say they were going to go 4-13, and then John just never heard the 4 part. But 4-win Wilson isn't as good as 3-win Wilson. That's fair.
We only remember the 3-win Wilson part. When Fanta gives you a nickname, we only remember that part of it.
Okay, but I said 4-13. I gave him an
extra win. Which one do you want? Which one do you want right now?
I talked to Todd Filcox and Kelly Holcomb and...
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Phipps, and they said, Nick, you're being so hard on this
would
team.
Would you? I can give you a 5-win, too, if you want as well. Do you want to really cover the board with a 6-win as well?
No.
I can go all the way up to 7 for you.
I believe this was documented.
We can get you to 8 if
Mac,
you want as well.
Do you remember?
We can get you wherever you need to
do
go.
Do you remember 4 wins? I said 4-13.
Or do you just remember 3-win Wilson like everyone else?
The 3-win Wilson was really good branding. But I remember around that number for you.
Around that number is also 3, though. Which number do you remember?
I remember 3 for sure because of the 3-win Wilson, but again, I could see him going 3-4 wins.
I don't, by the way, I don't have a...
Around that number, by the way, is a great answer to that, and low-key, really funny.
Very funny. I think Johnny Jam up over here is maybe not remembering... Well, no.
I asked him. I don't know what to tell you. I'll give you 4. I'll give you 5. I'll give you 6. I'll give you whatever win you want.
No, I'm not flip-flopping or changing. That's another show on this station. I said 4-13.
If they beat the Patriots, it's a BOGO. It's a buy one, get one. If they beat the Patriots, then we'll find. Then we'll settle right on your number at 4 because then they're going to beat the Jets. If you beat the Patriots, you get the win against the Jets. Guaranteed.
I just think it's funny that the guy who remembers everyone's take can't remember my take from the beginning of the season because John Fanta said something clever.
Wilson was just a really clever thing. It stuck with me.
216-474-0092. Should this game impact the Browns' deadline approach? Well, we can debate whether it should. I think it probably will. And could be a nightmare scenario this weekend for some in the area. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you do, being a father of two girls.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule really bleeped parents this year for Halloween.
So I honestly, I don't even know what day Halloween is. I know it's got to be
next
coming
up. Next Friday.
It's next Friday. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. All I knew is we were going to be working as it was going on, and I was going to miss the... Because different places have different days that they do it, though. But I'm assuming on a Friday, a lot of places are going to be able to do it on Friday.
So that's what's interesting, is I know of one place, which I'll be going tomorrow, is doing it tomorrow. I know of another place that's doing it on Sunday, and I know of yet a third place that is doing it on Friday, and then yet a fourth place that is doing it next Saturday. The schedule really jobbed parents who want to sell. If you were a college kid, this would be awesome. If you could celebrate Halloween for four of like 8 days, and that's awesome. I'm not a college kid. I have a high schooler, and I have two middle school kiddos, and we are going tomorrow. We are going Sunday. It's basically every bit of
like
my weekend.
Actually knock on the door and do it.
Yes.
Okay. Because I just looked it up. City of Solon is 6 to 8 on the 31st. So I'm going to be able to make like the last half hour of that or something like that. Okay.
So it's not just, by the way, it's not just that it's like, well, are you going to do it on this day or that day? It's also like certain neighborhoods will like double dip.
Yeah.
And
well, we definitely, I remember a couple years ago, we had, Solon did it on like a Wednesday or something, and I think the actual Halloween was, it was not that day, and we had a lot of kids from a bunch of different places that were not Solon.
But because of this schedule, the way this is lined up, my kids are going to trick-or-treat at least three times, and I got to, maybe it's because they're older, and it was a little different when they were younger, like your girl's age.
Mm-hmm.
Three times is a lot in a small amount of time, especially when you have high school football to deal with.
Yeah, so last weekend we did the Van Aken one, and then Elise went to Eaton's. They all do these little versions where you get dressed up and then you walk outside of the stores and they all give out candy. By the way, the Eaton ones, there was like, she came home, she had like seven different gigantic Snicker bars,
the
major ones.
At least they made it worth it.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. You've
had three of them now.
And then I think tomorrow, we're going tomorrow, that's Pinecrest, and then and we haven't even gotten to the actual, like, let's go out and go up to people's houses and do this whole thing. But Elise loves it, and they seem like they love it. I don't even know that Charlotte knows what's going on at this point.
So my girls definitely love it, and here's the thing. I've got good girls, so I know that, like, we're going to walk around with them.
Mm-hmm.
So they always look out for little kids. So, like, there's a part of me, like, I take pride going with my kids because they're just so conscientious of other kids. And like tomorrow we're going with another family. So I know it's going to be fun.
It's like a cool walk in the neighborhood.
But at some point it's like, it is a lot. Cause it's hours of your time on your weekend. And in fairness, like, we already got pretty busy weekends with a high schooler and two kids in middle school. It's just, I think this is the kind of year that I look at and go, I like it. That's a lot.
So I wouldn't do every day. I think that's right. I definitely wouldn't do Sunday during football. I'll tell you that.
No. So this is I believe it is after football, but I still might be getting out of that.
Football's an all-day venture on Sunday for me. You know that.
I meant for the Browns game, but it is.
I know. I meant it's an all-day venture for me.
It is an ongoing negotiation.
Yeah, no, Sunday is from 1 o'clock until we go to bed is all day football. Now, Saturday, that would be the thing. You got to give up some college football. That would be the concession that I would make there.
Yeah, that one I'm fine with. I guess here's the thing. Like,
it's not even a good weekend slate this weekend.
That's kind of what I was thinking about.
We kind of luck out that way. Ohio State's on a bye.
If there's a game I want to see, it'll TiVo it. You know what I mean? Like, in which I usually hate doing. I know I said TiVo. I'll just record it. I know I'm using... I'll videotape it.
Get the old VCR up.
Hey, anybody got a... oh, my God. I must bleep it. 216-474-0092. Betamax is what I was going for before my brain got fried there. How much Halloween is too much Halloween? And the other thing...
You get the dad tax on this, though. That's pretty sweet.
I don't think we need that. We do.
I need to get you excited for this. I need to get excited, and I get it. It's too many days. There's no denying that. It's too many days. But it's a nice walk in the neighborhood. You're eating.
Have you been outside?
You're eating candy. It's like 45, 50 degrees out there. I stop golfing at 45. If it's under 45, ooh, that's when I stop golfing.
Should you also have the same rule for trick-or-treating?
I think it applies. Yeah, because you're doing the same type of thing. You're just going for a stroll is all you're doing there.
All right, can I do the old man thing?
Yeah.
We didn't get this many chances to trick or treat when we were kids, right?
I remember you just got one day. That's when growing up, you got one day and that was it. And I remember just Halloween. I don't remember. And we used to go to different neighborhoods now because I would go to my aunt and uncle's neighborhood after I like got through my neighborhood. We'd pack it up. We'd go to my aunt and uncle's house and then we'd go through her neighborhood. And like that's how you did it. That's how you attacked a lot of places. We never went on like a Wednesday if it was Halloween on Friday. We never went on the weekend prior.
Like I know they've rescheduled it because of weather too. That's another thing we never. I remember walking in Wadsworth through like the third neighborhood, and my mom was driving along as we were running from place to place, and it was torrential downpour. And I will tell you, this is a great mom move because she was like, you know, she's like, if you guys want to go home, we can go home. But I'll stay out as long as you wanted to. Mm-hmm. That's a strong mom move because her car got destroyed because of that. I got a great mom. But I don't know when it changed. And by the way, I vaguely remember one night when like my nephew was little and he's like 16 years younger than I am. I don't know when it is. It's good. I do like some of it. It's just a lot.
Are you a full-size candy bar house? I could see that out of you
so
guys.
So now that we live in the country, we kind of...
You get like no trick-or-treaters anyway?
No trick-or-treaters.
Oh, that's upsetting.
But we were last year when we lived in town. We were. And Vanessa was like, are you sure? And I'm like, we're going to do this. And we got 1 year of being the cool house on the block where everybody was like... Although I did have to tell... I don't even think I told this on air. I had to tell kids like... Because I saw some teenagers run up and they grabbed a handful of the full size candy bars and they didn't see that it was my house and I was just like, guys, come on. And both of them looked around and they were like, you're right.
Yeah.
And it was a very nice, I was like, you know what?
At least everyone acted appropriately.
So their response, I said, but you can take two. And then they were like, cool. And I was cool for a minute. It was cool.
Yeah, my older brother's the full size candy bar house.
You have to be. If you can afford it, you have to be.
Yeah, he loves it. I think people that are that, they wanted to always be that, you know, like they grew up like thinking to themselves, we're going to be the full size candy bar house. And now they just live out their dreams that way.
I think it dares kids to dream a bit, you know, like you're perpetuating it, right? If I do it because I was inspired by that when I was a kid, maybe three kids will do it because of that in the future. And who knows? Maybe three generations from now, 90% of it's full-size candy bars.
It's not a bad development.
That's the America I want to live in. 216-474-0092. How much trick-or-treat is too much trick-or-treat?
Are they changing costumes for every switch-up?
No.
That'd be the rule. I feel like if you're going to go to a different place, I'm going to need a costume change here.
No, because that affects my wallet.
That's a fair point. I've already resigned myself to because Charlotte's got... three different costumes already this year. I've already resigned myself. This is my life.
Mark Spears, ESPN, senior NBA writer, joins us in 5 minutes. We'll talk Donovan Mitchell, the Cavs, his pick to win the NBA championship in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.